is good to get back. Now, Dan preached a long time last week, so I get the same amount of time, right? Ah, come on. All right, this morning as we begin a new series of messages, this is a hard series for me to preach for one simple reason. I'm not a quitter. I'm a fighter. I just don't quit. I fight, I struggle, I battle. Sometimes I feel that's why God called me to be a pastor, is because I'm not going to quit. I don't care what goes on. I don't care what happens. I don't care how it happens. I'm going to make it work. I'll fix it. I'll figure it out. I'm not a quitter. But what I discovered as I worked on this message is there are some things in my life I probably need to quit. All right? There's some things in my life I probably need to move past. And so I put a couple of these up here. We're going to look at these in the next few weeks. Today we're going to talk about making excuses. We're going to look at complaining and living in fear and comparing. But this morning I want to kind of talk about making excuses. Because I want to tell you something. I really believe if you listen to these words that God had in His Scriptures this morning and through the rest of this series, and you begin to apply these in your life, it will make a difference. Things can change in your life. You know, are you happy with your status quo? Are you happy with the things you are right now? If you look at your life, can you sit there and say, I'm happy. I'm happy with who I am. I'm happy with who I'm turning out to be. I'm satisfied. Can you sit there and say, I'm happy with who I am? And if you're not, why not? That's what I want to challenge you. Because most of us, I want to tell you, we can all change. The problem is, we have excuses. Why not? We make excuses why we don't want to change and why we shouldn't have to change. And we don't want to face those things because it's easier to stay the way it is and to live and complain and whine and make excuses instead of changing. So some of us are not going to get anything out of this message, this whole series, because it's going to be, I don't care. But some of you are going to get a lot out of it because you're going to go, I can change. Things can be different. It doesn't have to be the same. I want to tell you something. This week can be different than last week. It doesn't have to be the same. But what about the excuses? What about the excuses? But here's one of the challenges. As soon as I say, look, you look at your outline, it goes like this. As soon as I decide to be different, Satan gives me an excuse to stay the same. Would you agree with that? As soon as I make my decision, as soon as I decide to work on this, as soon as I decide to go this way or to do this thing, Satan begins to nurture some excuses, some reasons why I shouldn't, some things that I probably don't understand. And he begins to nurture these excuses. And this is not new. Satan has always done it that way. Jesus is telling a parable about heaven. He's talking to his disciples and those that are around him at the Sermon on the Mountain. And he's discussing about heaven and how to get there and what goes on as he describes it. And he begins with this little parable. And look at what it says as he discusses this. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At that time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited." Oh, I had some excuses for you. Did we go through those already? Okay, let's look at this first one. How about this one? What's your best excuse? What's your best excuse? You got an out-of-town wedding? Some of you know what movie that's from, right? You see, I know what kind of shows you guys watch. All right. How about an out-of-town wedding? What's next? How about a home disaster? Yeah, anybody ever use that excuse? You know, the dog ate my work, my house burnt down. What's next? Illness. Anybody know that movie? That's a classic right there. What's next? Your family's in town. Anybody, you know, you got some excuses? I'm going to help you out. Is that the last one? Oh, here we go. Death. We all have excuses. And Satan tries to ruin those. He throws those things in our face why we can't. But look at the scripture now as we finally get there. See, as soon as I decide Satan does that, man, I got this thing out of line. See, I'm off beat. I've missed 2 weeks. I got to get back in the beat of this thing here. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses." Now look at this. Now think about these excuses and see if they make sense to you. The first said, "I've just bought a field and I must go and see it." Now how many of you would buy a house without ever looking at it? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. I'd go buy a house. I'd go buy a car without even looking at it. I'm going to buy me a bridge in San Francisco made out of gold. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to buy this bridge made out of gold. Okay. I mean, does that even make sense? Look at the next guy. Another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen." Did I skip one? No. "Bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I've got to go try them out. I've got to go test my car dry. I've got to go test the car. You know, I bought a car, now I've got to go test drive it." You know, look at this last one. "I'm on the way to try them out. Please excuse me," still another said. "I just got married, so I can't come." Now, that one, I might give him credit on that one. Depends on his wife, I guess. Yeah, "I just got married." I mean, come on now. But think about the excuses that we give. What's your best excuse? You know, think about some of those excuses. You ever gave an excuse and you look back on it, man, what was I thinking? That was the dumbest thing I ever said. Anybody ever besides me? You know, it's like, oh, they're going to see right through that one. But when it comes to our life, we make excuses like this about our life. "Well, you know, I tried last year and it just didn't work, so I'm not going to bother anymore." I tried, you know, I worked at it. Or "I'm just not good enough. I just can't measure up. I'm just not good enough." So we quit. And we make these excuses and we give up. But I want to challenge us that we can be different. Because here's the thing I want to look at. If you look at your paper, I got it wrote this way. And I give you a little blanks to fill in. Good intentions versus God intentions. If you want to turn your life around, if you want your life to be different, if there's things in your life you want to change, if there's something in your life that the status quo is not just happy, you know, you're okay, but it's just not clicking for you, good intentions aren't good enough. You need God intentions. Do you know that, how many here are ever making a New Year's resolution? Anybody besides me make New Year's resolution? Anybody? I've made New Year's resolutions. Do you know by the end of January, 40% of the people have quit already? Make a New Year's resolution, 40% by then. Do you know by February 15th, 75% have quit, given up, threw the towel in? We try with these good intentions. You know, if I just try harder, if I just work at it more, and we try with all these, we have good intentions, and good intentions are okay. But see, good intentions is about me. And it's about what I can do and what Gary can fight for and how Gary can work. See, Gary needs to lose weight. You know, it bugs me. I mean, I need to lose weight. And when you grow up and you've been 135 pounds and then you're 165 pounds and now you're pushing 190 and it's like, you know, I got to suck it in to button my pants. You know, it's like, I got good intentions. You know, I watch what I eat. Exercise, well, good intentions don't go very far there, all right? But I want to talk about God intentions. What about God in this? So here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to give you two questions, a what and a why. If you want to change your lives, if you want something different, if you're not satisfied with the status quo, if you're fed up with the way things are and you want things different, it doesn't have to stay the same. You can walk out of here on a different path. Or you can make excuses. So if you look at your outline, I'm going to ask this question right here. It's right there at the top of your page. It goes like this. What does God want to be different about my life? I want you to think about that. We're going to pray about this and think about this in just a minute. What does God want? Now, maybe that lines up with what you want. But what is it that God wants What is it that God would like to see different in your life? What is it that God would like to see change? What status quo in your life would God like to work on? So here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to write something down. You're not just going to sit here. I'm not going to, you just sit here and listen to Gary. No. I want you to write something down. So get a pen, pencil, whatever you have, and write something right now. All right? Now, don't look at each other's papers, but write something. All right? I'm going to write mine. You need to know, I've been praying about mine. I knew this was coming. And so you guys didn't get a chance, but silently, God, what is it you want me to change? Maybe it is weight. I got to lose weight. Maybe you need to get in a home group, one of our Bible studies. Maybe you need to spend more time with your children. Maybe you need to work on your marriage. What is it that you need to work on? Now, maybe you're kind of worried about your nosy neighbor. Maybe you just want to write private in there. Maybe you didn't want anybody to see it. You can just write private in there, all right? Now, if you accidentally looked over at your neighbor's paper, you know, accidentally, you know, sometimes you just kind of, that peripheral vision gets you. And they didn't write anything, I got good news for you, all right? If you just accidentally see somebody's page and they didn't write anything, you are so lucky. You are so blessed because you're sitting next to Jesus, okay? All right? Because the only one that wouldn't have anything written down is Jesus, all right? Now, I'll give you a hint here, all right? So if you didn't write anything down, you are so blessed, you can walk on water, all right? We all have something to work on. I wrestle. You need to know I wrestle with mine. You know what God was telling me? I was telling God I didn't want to put, honestly, this is the truth. I was telling God I didn't want to write that. I was arguing with God on these back steps again before I came out here because I was praying. I didn't write mine down until I came up here because I didn't want to write it down. You know, if I got my way, I'd write lose weight. You know what God made me write? Patience. I don't want to wrestle with patience. I don't want to go there. But God told me, so, I guess I got to work on it. You know, that's a God. That's not what Gary wants. I want the easy one. Anybody like me? Give me the easy one to work on. So what is it that you want to change? What is it that God wants you to change? It's not about you. It's God-centered. What is it? I want to be a spiritual father for my family. I want to be a spiritual husband. I need to get committed to a home group that I participate in and week out. I need to... Maybe, you know, I get my finances in order. What is it that God has laid on your heart? All right. And then the second question is this. Why does God want this to be different in my life? Now, this is the important part. This is what I want you to understand. First is, what does God want to change? And then why does he want me to change it? When you connect these two ideas, when these two ideas come in connection, you realize it's not your power, it's not your strength, it's not your ability, it's not what you know that makes it possible. What makes it possible is God. Why does God want this? Why would God want me to lose weight? Some of you out there saying, Gary doesn't need to lose weight. Well, I'm going to tell you, I do. It bugs me, all right? I bought those nice, you know, you need to know, Docker came out with a really nice pair of pants, all right? Because I can buy the pants I like from Docker because they stretch now. So I can still get 32s, and they stretch. They have built elastic in the side, so I can say, I think I'm up to 36, but let's not go there, you know, because they stretch. But let's say I put here, lose weight. Now, why would God want me to lose weight? Well, I would feel better. I would be healthier. Okay, but why would God want me to lose weight? Because my body is the temple of God. See, God wants me to take care of my body because God lives inside of me. He dwells in my life. He formed me. He created me and He has placed me here. And so God wants me to lose weight because I'm His temple. Now, does that add a different motivation to losing weight? Why would God want me to be patient? Why would God want me to have patience with all the moron drivers out there? But I'm going to tell you guys something. Now, this, you need to know, I drove across this nation, almost all the way across. Almost made it to the Atlantic Ocean. The worst drivers I've seen are in Atlanta, okay? I don't care how bad they drive in San Francisco. I thought San Francisco was bad, the Bay Area driver. I think Atlanta's worse, all right? Why do I need patience? They're morons. But why would God want me? Because I need to glorify God with my behavior. Is that right? My attitude and my spirit needs to represent Jesus Christ. Maybe you want to write your finances down. Maybe you put my financial. I need to take care of my finances. I need to get out of debt and be a good steward of my finances. Why would God want that? Well, I want to be a good steward so I can buy me a boat. Or I get me a new car. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a good steward. And there's nothing wrong with having a new car or a boat. That's great. Yeah. But why would God want that? Because I need to be, God wants me to be a good steward of my resources, of the possessions that He has blessed me with, and what He has given me. He wants me to be a good steward of those, and to be generous with what He has, and to live a life that gives glory to God. Do you see how that what makes a difference? What God wants, and then why does God want it? As you look at that list, why would God want that in your life? Is it because your body is a temple of God? Is it to be a good steward? Is it to be a father of a home? I want to be the spiritual leader in my home for my wife and my children. You need to know, I tell you, I walk around this place every Sunday. I walk around this place several times. I did it again this morning. I pray for my kids. I pray for every one of my kids as I walked around this place. I pray for my grandchildren. As I walked around this corner here, as I walked around this corner over here this morning, my grandkids were on the road and traveling, and I was praying for those that are traveling. I was praying for the spouses. I prayed for the spouses of my two grandsons that God would prepare women for. I prayed for my granddaughters and that God would prepare spiritual husbands for them. I prayed those things. I want to be a spiritual person for my family. Is there something that do I need to? Why do I want to do that? Why? Because I want my family to love God. And God wants me to teach them, to train them, so that they will not depart from God when they get older. Do you see what I'm talking about? That why adds motivation. That why adds power. Then it becomes not what I can do. Not what I know. Not my strength. Not how hard I work on it. Not how long I work on it. No longer is it required on my resources. All of a sudden, I've got God. And with God, who's got the resources? Matter of fact, how much resources does God have? What can God do? Doesn't God somewhere in the Bible say, I can do all things? Doesn't somewhere in the Bible say, nothing's impossible for God? When you wrote those things down there, maybe you're like me, I wanted to write one that was easy, that Gary could do. And God's sitting there, no, you got to write this one. But see, we have excuses. Why not? Well, I can't. Well, that's true. You can't. I don't care what you put down there, you can't do it. But God can do anything. And God can do everything. So again, I put this phrase, I'm going to keep driving this in for you. Is it me-centered good intentions, or is it God-centered God intentions? Which one is it? See, if God wants that, don't you think He's going to make it happen if you're willing to? If that's really what God wants in your life, don't you think he has the resources to make it happen? Whatever it is. There's another occasion in the scripture. It goes back to the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, I didn't put the verses in there. You're going to have homework. You get to read them in your homework. Because I got you a homework sheet in your... If you notice, there's a little green piece of paper in your bulletin. That's your homework, all right? I'm not showing mercy on you. I might have took 2 weeks off, but that gave me time to get a lot of stuff done. And now it's your turn to pay the price. Yeah. So we're going to have some homework. One of those verses is the story of Moses. Anybody familiar with Moses? Anybody seen the movie Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about the real Moses, okay? But God came to Moses, you know, Moses raised up, lived in Pharaoh's, ended up running in the desert. And God calls Moses to come back and lead the people out of slavery. So Moses has what we call the burning bush experience. God appears in a bush that's on fire that's not consumed. And God is asking Moses to go back and bring Israel out to the promised land. And as he's discussing this, As he's telling Moses what to do, it was no discussion, all right? I'm going to tell you, with God, and God wants you to do something, there's no discussion, okay? Give it up, all right? But he's talking to Moses, and he's asking Moses, go do it. And Moses is giving one excuse after another excuse. And after another excuse. And it's all about Moses. Moses is really giving a resume about himself. He's going, I can't do this because... And I can't do this because... And he's given his resume of excuses. And then he falls down in that verse 10 of that fourth chapter. And listen to what he says here. And it's not on the screen. And so if you got your... You know, I got it on my phone. And Linda tried to get it on her phone. Get that Bible. How many here have smartphones? Anybody got a smartphone? Most of you guys got smartphones, right? You know, you can download the Bible on your smartphone. And it's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. You can always have the Word of God with you. All right, wherever you go. And I've got it on mine. But listen to what he says here. That Moses, okay, let me look. I got to get verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since. You have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Moses goes, I just don't talk well. I just can't speak well. I'm not eloquent. Don't ask me to preach. Don't ask me to teach. Just leave me alone is what he's telling him. I just can't do that. But then listen to what God says. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gave him his sight or makes him blind? Is it not I? God's sitting there, who gave you your mouth in the first place, Moses? Who lets you see, Moses? You know, if I gave it to you, I can fix it. Is that right? Then he goes on. It's not I, is it not I, the Lord? Now I like this. Now go. Quit making excuses and go. Quit playing games. Quit rationalizing. Some people spiritualize everything. They just get so spiritual. I got to pray about it. And you pray about it for a year and you still don't do anything. Moses, go. I love that. Go. What do you... Go. Bye. I said my piece. Go. There's a great little video clip. Go to YouTube. Type Bob Newhart. Anybody know who Bob Newhart is? Anybody ever see Bob Newhart? Great comedian. Bob Newhart was a psychologist, and there's a clip in there from Bob Newhart when some lady comes in with all sorts of issues. And he goes... I charge by the hour, but most of them take 5 minutes. And so, you know, he said it'd be like $5, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so she says, okay, you know, but he says, I only take cash. Really great video clip. And she begins to tell him her problem. And she's afraid of small places. He goes, oh, you're claustrophobic. She goes, yeah. And so she starts talking about it, and he goes, okay, are you done? She goes, yeah. He goes, stop it. She goes, well, what do I do? What don't you understand? Stop it. And she goes, and it's really funny. She lists about 5 or 6 things that she has issues with. Every one of his answers was, stop it. Just stop it. And I see God sitting there saying, you don't like the status quo of your life. You don't like where you're at with your life. Quit making your excuses and go. I got the resources. I've got the power. You can't talk. I gave you your mouth. I'll take care of it. You can't see. I can give you glasses. Go. You take care of it. I just love that path. He's just saying, go. That's it. Go. You know, I can see Moses sitting there going, now what? You ever give your excuses and you run out of excuses and you go, now what? Well, that didn't work. Now what? Well, go. If it's what God wants and you got a reason why God wants it, then go. We need to quit making excuses. I like the way, if you look at your outline, look what this scripture says. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? How many feel you've been at a place where you just can't get out of it? How many, maybe right now, you're at a place where you feel, I just can't go forward anymore. I'm done. I'm at the end of my rope. I can't handle anymore. Well, you know what? I got news for you. You're at the end of your rope. And you can't handle anymore. But I know somebody who can pick you up off that rope. Who can carry you from that day. Who can care for you and wants to. He's a God who created you, who formed you, and knew you'd be here this day. Is anything too hard for him? If he created this world? I do not believe in evolution. I do not believe Big Bang theory. I believe the bang was God said, and there it was. And if he could do that, he could do anything. I just look at my life. I talk to people who knew me before I became a Christian. I talk to people who knew me when I was a kid. They can't believe. If I went back and talked to my high school teachers, can you believe what I'm doing? They'd go, no. They would have probably said, I thought you'd been in jail. That's probably what they would have said. Yeah. But God, see, don't you like that? But God, we need to quit making excuses. And listen, if you write something down you can do, then you can do it. What big deal is God? Why should God do something you could do? If you can do it on your own, what do you need God for? See, I think most of us live our lives in these little bubbles and these little things that we think we can handle. I can handle that. I can deal with that, so I'm going to do this. I can handle this, so I'm going to go over here. I've said that. Anybody else besides me say things like that? I think we've all been there. See, we need to look at the impossible when God says do something and realize, well, you know what? It's impossible for him, but it's not impossible for me. And that with God, I can do it. So here's what I want to have. Two things real quick. Look at two things I want to say. If you look at your outline on the back side, I will do what I can do. God said, now go. I will do what I can do. Moses, you go and do what you can do. Just go. Now go. Now listen to this. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Okay, do you hear that? Delayed obedience. When God asks you to do something and you don't do it, then it is you are being disobedient to God. You need to go. When God says go, you go. Like I said, I did not, as I was standing on those steps back there, I was making my final prayers. God, I'm getting ready. I haven't chosen anything yet. What am I going to write? And he says, write patience. I don't want to, God. I'm serious. Now go, Gary. I don't want to do it because that one's hard. I can't do that one. See, I could do the one, lose weight. I just got to watch what I eat, exercise a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Eating, monitoring my eating is the easy part. Exercising is the hard part. You know, the bad things, you got to do both. Patience is hard. I can't do that one. But God says, do it. So I'm sitting here now. What bothers me as I was getting ready to come out here is, now, how am I going to do that? God, you're going to have a lot of work. I'm throwing a lot on God with that one. So what is it? Will you do what I can do? Will you do that? Will you go? Will you sit here today and go, I'm not happy with my status quo. Things don't have to be the same. I'm going to quit making excuses. I'm going to go. Will you do what you can do? That's all you can do. Will you do it? And then the second thing is this. I will trust God to do what I cannot do. I will trust God to do what I cannot do. God, you got to do this in me. God, you got to help me. God, you got to encourage me. God, you got to strengthen me. God, you got to make it happen. See, we do what we can do, and we allow God to do what he can do. And who has the strength? Who has the resources? Who has the power? Who has the ability? Who gave me those abilities in the first place? See, we need to trust God. Do we really trust God? See, most of the time, I don't think we do. I think if you're like me, now I'm just going to talk about me. You can put your own shoes on. I'll just talk about me. Most of the time, I want to do what I can do. I'm comfortable doing what I can do. When I know I can do things. Last week, the church voted to take a loan out. You know how much that bothers me? Because now that's out of my control. I think that's part of what God's doing to Gary. Because now it's out of my control. If we built with what we had, and we built out of debt like my goal was, look. But now, oh man, 20 years. It's scary. It's frightening. I've never been in a church with a debt. I'm excited. Somebody drove by the building and called me the other day and said, hey, it's looking great. How's things going? But it's scary. I'm going to do what I can do. And I'm going to trust God to do what he can do. All right? I'm going to depend on God. But look at what the scripture says. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Oh, did you get that? Look at that. You might want to underline that. For my power is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, he is strong. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Isn't that a powerful message right there? That's awesome. I'm going to trust God. God has told me on those steps to be patient. I don't want to be. You need to know that. That's not what I want. But that's what God wants. Because if I am patient, I can bring glory to God. I can take on more of the image of Christ. I can be a better father and a better husband. See, there's a reason why God wants that. But now I got to work on it. But when I have my weakness, God can turn into a strength. And God can be strong. Isn't that powerful to think about? How many here can ride a bicycle? Anybody ride bicycle? Can anybody here ride a bicycle? I see some hands go up. Some of you guys can't ride bicycles. I thought everybody could ride a bicycle. But I remember learning to ride a bicycle. You need to know, I broke my leg in first grade riding a bicycle. But I remember teaching my kids. Anybody ever teach a kid to ride a bicycle? How do you teach a kid to ride a bicycle? Get on the bike and ride it. Come on, pedal faster. And you sit there on the lawn chair, crash and burn. Yeah! No, what do? You get the kid on a bicycle, you hold the back of the seat, you hold the steering wheel, and you say, you pedal, and I'm going to hold you. And you're running down the street. Anybody done this besides me? Come on now. You run down the street with the kid. And you're holding the steering wheel and the bike seat, right? But then pretty soon, you're just holding the back seat. And you're running behind the bike. And then pretty soon, it's like, bye. That's what God does with us. That's the picture you need to have. God is sitting there saying, you try. You're telling our kid, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Get on the bike. I'm here. I'm with you. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm going to help you. And you're telling your child that. And you're running down the street with them. And every time it gets more. And they get better. And they learn. And pretty soon they're off right. But we sit back and make excuses. I'm afraid. I'm going to crash. I'm going to get hurt. And God is sitting there saying, listen, I'm there. I'm going to carry you. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to support you. Until you can do it on your own, I'm going to be with you. As a matter of fact, when I let you go, I'm still there with you, but you're on your own. Does that make sense? See, that's how God works. What excuses do we have? And why? I have a video clip. Michael Jordan. Anybody know who Michael Jordan is? Anybody know? Boy, you guys are just kind of here. Watch this video clip of Michael Jordan.
Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym. Maybe I made you think that every shot I took was a game winner. That my game was built on flash and not fire. Maybe it's my fault that you didn't see that failure gave me strength. That my pain was my motivation. Maybe I led you to believe that basketball was and not something I worked for. Every single day of my life. Maybe I destroyed the game. Or maybe you're just making excuses.
Michael Jordan, considered one of the, if not the greatest, one of the greatest basketball players ever. And he said, and I like that. How did he get there? Just kind of, it's here. I'm just great. He worked at it. He struggled with it. He honed his skills and he honed his talent. I want to tell you something. I really believe this, that there's greatness in every one of us. That every one of us has a greatness. We're different. We're unique. You know what? I'm never going to be great at basketball. I don't care. You know, I was tall. I could play under the basketball because I was 6 foot tall when I was in junior high. I mean, I always played the middle. I'd hold the ball up. I had a lot of fun. But I can't shoot. You know? And plus, I have a little problem that patient things come into basketball. If I got you got the basketball and I want it, I'm going to take it from you. You know, they call these little penalties hacking. Shoot, if you're not bleeding, it's okay. I mean, you know, I'm never going to be great at that. But you know what? I can be the greatest Gary there is. I believe every one of us can be the greatest. And I believe that's what God wants for all of us. But the challenge is it good intentions or God intentions? Is it centered on me or is it centered on God? See, if I do what I can do and I trust God to do what he can do, there's nothing impossible. Does that make sense? Look at these scriptures. I want to bang out some scriptures real quick. Just a bang, 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 bang. Look at what it says. Let's back it up. Is there one there? Okay, there it is. I can do everything through him who strengthens me. That's my favorite one. That's my verse for my life. Look at the next one. I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. Is that true for God? How about this one? Oh, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. Is that true? I'm going to challenge you to say something with me, all right? Now, everybody, all right, together, look at that top phrase up there at the top of your page. It says, I will do what I can do. Would you say that with me? You ready? I will do what I can do. I didn't hear you guys very well. All right, let's do that again. I will do what I can do. Will you? All right. How about this next one? Say this one too. I will trust God to do what I cannot do. Say it with me. You ready? I will trust God to do what I cannot do. That one's a little harder to say. I'm going to ask you to quit making excuses. I'm going to ask you to throw the towel in. I got a towel for you. On the towel, it says, I quit. I'm going to have the ushers bring and give you a towel this morning. I want to thank Evie for getting them printed. Evie took care of the printing for me and made them available for me. So I want to, but I want you to think about this. I want you to think about, will you quit making excuses? Will you quit? I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I tried. Why bother? Who cares? Will you quit making excuses? You can go through life in the status quo, just like you are, or you can change. What does God want you to do? What is it? What does God want you to do? Will you quit making excuses? Don't live in them. I'm excited about next week's message because, to me, one of the issues, and I'll set up next week's message, is we like to complain. Life's not fair. Why them? Will you quit making excuses? At the bottom of your page, I put it this way. I will quit making excuses. I'm going to throw my towel in. You got to throw yours in. I want you to know it's yours. Take it home. Do whatever you want with it. But I'm going to ask you, will you quit making excuses? But God says, I want you to be a spiritual leader in your family. Will you be it? You might not know how. You might not understand what it's involved. You might not get it. But will you say, God, I know you want me to do this, and I know you want that because you want my family and you want me to bring glory to your kingdom, God, and you want me that spiritual leader in the home, God, I'm going to do it. Or will you make an excuse? Will you get your finances under control? Or will you make an excuse? I just don't make enough. Ends never meet. Bills are too high. Will you attend a small group? We have these small groups during the week. I'm going to tell you, it's not good enough to be in Bible study and be in church on Sunday. You need to be in a Bible study during the week. You really do. To get that strength and that encouragement, that fellowship, you need that small group experience. What excuse do you have? Will you quit making an excuse and get in a group? God says, now go. You need an idea of what groups? The group leaders are here. They'll talk to you. If you're a group leader, would you raise your hand? If you're a group leader, well, there's several group leaders here. Talk to one of them. If you need to get in a group, talk to one of them. Say, hey, I need to be in a group. What day do you meet? They know what other groups meet on, too, if they're not the one you can meet with. See, what excuses? You don't have to go out of here the same person you came in. Things can be different. Now go. I will quit making excuses. Let's pray.